Yes, y'all, welcome in to episode 164 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again. Trifecta right now, tripod edition. We may have a run-in coming on later on here with the fourth member of the crew. Gentlemen, how we living?
We got to do the war games, like where he comes in, you know, after the match is like really about to begin.
We'll hit his music like he's Randy Orton.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
That's what we'll do.
I don't know if he's not that worthy of a return. It ain't like he's been out a year and a half. How we good? Everybody feeling good? Championship Saturday. We're here. Let's go. Victory finally, time.
Yep.
Finally. Championship Saturday is upon us. Coming up to the year end. Rivalry week last week. Survivor Series. The whole nine yards. Everything that popped off with that. We'll get into all that as we normally do with Mount Rushmore and Jabroni in a week and some other stuff. But how's everybody feeling? How was everybody's week?
Rough week. Very, very rough week. Yeah.
Yeah. You
that'll be a rough 2 weeks for you.
You in the thick of it with the holiday season, so to speak.
Yeah. It's been bad. It's been real bad. So my time off, I take great rest in it. I have to.
Right. No doubt about that.
You reset last night?
Yes, I did. Well, that was wonderful last night. Had to do that.
Rest is best. I was surprised. I saw the post go up. And for those of you that don't follow Donald on social media, you were a little cultured last night. You went to the Benedum Center, which is in the cultural district downtown here, to see a little symphony performance.
He went to Heinz Hall. He really went classy last night.
Yeah,
no sweatsuit allowed in there.
Oh, no, not at all. You better look your best or turn the other way.
Right.
You go right to Market Square and deal with those people.
Yeah. So how'd you feel coming out of that? You know, the cultural experience.
Very rested. It was everything I thought it was. The best $50 I spent on a ticket down in the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Nice. Great. Nice. Yeah, nice. Great. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Awesome. Chris, you feeling good?
Not too bad this week. Allergies this week for some reason. I don't get it. Like, I don't know if it's the constant change of weather this week or what.
Yes, I did. Hey, thank you on that.
Prime downtown is clutch. That's one of those things that if you don't get, you know what I mean. It's a bad move if you don't get it. But prime parking, that's up there as one of the greatest feelings ever.
Yes,
good to know clutch. People, huh, Donald?
Yes, it does. Very, very, very good to know people.
That's right. Nice.
How was your week, Steve?
I was out of the state. I ventured down south for the week. Went to go see my son graduate from basic training down in South Carolina, and the South fooled me. And I say that because I didn't pack for Pittsburgh weather. I packed for South Carolina weather. Okay, I had a little light jacket, no hoodies, no tassel cap, this and that. Bro, it was 19 degrees in the morning. I was like, did I even leave the state? Like, what is this? Where's the 65 and 70 at? Like, why is it 19 degrees down here? It was literally the coldest mornings that they have had in quite a while, as far as like record temps lows in the mornings. So I was ill prepared, to say the least, for being outside at 8 o'clock in the morning during the week. So
sounds like whenever I went to Texas a couple years ago and I get down there and they had a snow and ice storm.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but like, bro, it took like till probably like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon to actually take your jacket off and walk around with long sleeves. And then once the sun went down, it was right back and get the jacket back out. And so I made a pit stop and picked up a tassel cap and some other stuff.
Get that Walmart.
Had hand warmers in the pockets. Like it was cold, man. It was definitely cold, but great time.
No Southern hospitality there. Succession is.
Yeah, no, great time.
Easy now. Yeah, let's go there. Okay.
Probably besides the birth of my children, probably the one of the proudest days of being a father for sure. Awesome. So it was a great time spent with family and a couple of his close friends that came down from upper New York. So it's awesome. So yeah, congrats to him. Shout out to him. So, but yeah, came back. So with that being said, my week in pro wrestling, as far as watching, ended on Monday. I watched nothing the rest of the week. I got caught up on some recaps. I do have a Mount Rushmore and a Jabroni, but we'll get into that in coming up here shortly. So, yeah, you guys will have to fill me in as far as show-wise, content-wise, what happened, what didn't, based on your likes and dislikes for the week here.
Okay.
That was in pro wrestling, coming off of an eventful Survivor Series, to say the least.
I was going to say, you probably didn't pick a bad week to not watch much, so...
Yeah, the recaps that I caught up on this morning, kind of filled me in with different things. I had my thoughts on some stuff that happened during the week, presentation wise, with certain things and that continuity, kind of where the upcoming foreshadowing is being shined on, as far as wrestlers and Royal Rumble coming around the corner. So, but no, that's good. Oh my gosh. Yo, this dude, for 2 years, he ain't mentioned one word of CM Punk. Didn't celebrate it. Didn't he just come back? Nothing. My man shows up Saturday night as the show goes off the air, comes out and cuts a the most fake politician rope promo ever Monday night. And this guy pulls his white CM Punk jersey out of the bottom of his dresser drawer that's been sitting there since 2013. Doesn't even iron it. And is just out here like, I'm the biggest number one CM Punk fan.
They throw you in the basement today?
Oh, this is fresh out the pack.
That's not fresh out the pack. There's no way. That neckline is too long.
You know how pissed I am? You got a loose neck?
That neckline is too drunk to be fresh out the pack. That thing been soaking in Mad Dog 2020.
I think this tag is with some cheap shirts you buy. That's what this tag is. This is screen print. Yeah. Anything is authorized to sell this.
It's that loose neck just so you can grab it and just stretch it out.
I said that's going to return right after the show, right?
Hear me out. Yeah.
He won't even spring for the good shop WWE merch. He goes on Amazon and that's what you get.
Can't return that as easy.
Those aren't either.
Gonna change your nickname online, Mr. Returns.
Hey, Taquan, listen. Okay. The hairline looks that way because I sit up close to the camera. If I sit back in the chair, you can see it. All right. Let's not go there. I know I got Tyra Banks' forehead going on right now, but we're not gonna have that slander this early in the morning.
Listen, we ain't hating on anybody's hairline on this show, okay?
All right.
So certain individuals wear hats on this show.
Right. I just came fresh off the barbershop this morning, got cleaned up because I got a Christmas party to go to tonight. So yeah, got nice little fade up, but yeah, I don't do it often for this reason. Okay. I'm normally rocking the hat for a reason. But sometimes when in Rome, you gotta roll with the punches. So
want to show off that fresh cut for the holidays.
Here we are, balder than a bitch. Look at this. This is terrible. Sorry, it's all good.
Genetics suck, huh?
It is what it is. Nothing you can do about it. I guess it was all that mousse hairspray and gel I used growing up that kind of had it come off a little early.
Uncle Jesse collection.
Yeah. But hey, at least my barber didn't hit me with the Beijing this morning like he did whenever I went to prior events. Had me up there scrubbing the Beijing off. I'm like, you can't Beijing me and have me going out. Like, I know my line's far back, but come on, brother. I didn't ask you to save it either. Like, what are we doing? Cool. But yeah, nah. So we're here, shits and giggles, coming up on the end of the year. So we're going to get into some year-end stuff, wrapping up here shortly. But Survivor Series, it happened. We got the double return. Double your pleasure, so to speak.
Triple return.
one return.
Well, I mean, like Triple H said in the press conference, the return of the night was
none other than
the truth. And
that was entertaining.
He wasn't lying. Like, man, I didn't realize how much I missed R-Truth on my screen until I had him back on my screen again, because absolute gold. Absolute gold.
And he had a good one on Monday night, too.
Oh, the jelly rolls and the sugar all over the couch. The line of the line of R-Truth from him returning. Damian Priest was like, "We lost." And Truth looked at him dead face. "How'd I do?" Like, dude, you weren't even in the match, Truth. You weren't even. What are you talking about? How's you doing? The fact that none of them cracked, because I know his whole goal is to get people to pop live on
camera. Yeah.
And the fact that they all kept a straight face was just unbelievable.
It wouldn't even surprise me if everything that they do in those segments with him is just all ad lib.
Oh yeah. They're not writing nothing for Truth. Yeah. Truth is out there doing his thing by himself. Like,
did you see Truth out there with the fans doing the Jimmy Uso thing?
Yeah. 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 He was doing it. Well, I mean, technically, if you think about it, the whole "What's up?" that was Truth before Jay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, many years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, so as I said, my wrestling watching was Monday night, and that was it. So before we go around the horn here, I'm in a good mood. I'm positive. Had a great family experience. So I'm going to start off with Mount Rushmore this week and positivity, right?
See how long we can keep this going.
See how long we can keep this going, right? My Mount Rushmore this week. I have two of them. One is on screen and one is off screen, so to speak. But my Mount Rushmore for on screen is Randy Orton. The pop, the comeback looked absolutely fantastic. You could tell he was motivated to get back, because we've seen Orton come back, and sometimes he's come back not in the best of shape, right? Mm-hmm. But no, he looked motivated, looked absolutely ecstatic to be there. If you saw some of the clips online, there were moments where, like, especially on Raw, he's like, "Just give me a second. Let me soak this in." Like, you could tell he missed being out there.
Yeah.
And like Triple H said in the press conference, "Hey, to be told you may never do this again and to have to sit with that and think about that and come to grips with that, and then to be able to get back out there, like, it does take its toll on you to where you need to recognize and realize and understand that." And given his history and what he's done in pro wrestling / sports entertainment, he deserved all the time that he wanted to soak up and take on Monday night. Like, no doubt about it. I thought the presentation and debut at Survivor Series fit perfect with the storyline. It gave you the false sense of the cash in, which I was like, "Holy shit, they're going to do what I booked them today in the morning." But in the most WWE way possible, they went right whenever I thought they were going left. Yeah, and had Orton come out. But no, like I said, hands down, between Saturday, Monday, and then Friday night last night, I caught up on the recap this morning and the whole thread throughout the show. I can officially go on and order a Daddy's Back shirt once they start producing those, because those are coming very soon.
They posted it this morning, I think.
There you go. See? Yeah. That'll be on my order for my Christmas list. because that's a great tagline. But yeah, so Randy Orton, through and through for me, Mount Rushmore in that regards.
He was mine too this week. And okay. I got to give the shout out, especially for the RKO to finish War Games on Saturday night. I mean, he does what he does. Yeah. And that was a perfect moment to end the match.
We talked about a while back when JD McDonough took the Crossroads as, like, it was like one of the best sold Crossroads ever. Him taking that RKO, just a swan dive into it, was
he killed it.
Like, he lived up, but
that was two of my Mount Rushmores too, Randy and JD. Randy for coming back and adding to the main event scene of SmackDown, which is kind of non-existent right now. LA Knight, and you got Bobby doing whatever Bobby's doing.
He's in the tournament. He's in the tournament.
He's in the tournament. Okay, yeah, yeah. He's in the tournament. What is that for the U.S.?
For the U.S.
For the U.S. title. And then, you know, JD for selling his ass off on that RKO.
Donald, did you also have Orton on your Mount Rushmore this week or something?
No, I didn't. I had something else.
All right.
That might be the first time we've had like a 3-4.
All right, so Orton, obviously, around the horn. And then my second Mount Rushmore this week has to do with a person in pro wrestling, but it's outside of wrestling, and it's Samoa Joe. Yeah. Samoa Joe had a comment on trolling, right? So everybody's up in arms with the internet and the trolls and everything else, but he said, this is the quote he gave. He said, "It's weird. I'm less upset about trolling, but more upset at how garbage most people are at it. Where's the nuance, the art? For context, 7 years ago, a man texted my phone by accident thinking I was his estranged Uncle Brian. I've been giving this dude bad life advice ever since." So for Joe to troll somebody for 7 years and just give this man poor, bad life advice because he thinks he's his Uncle Brian, that to me, I popped in that quote. I'm like, that's hilarious. That just reminded me of my boy that we would drive down the street and beep, and he'd yell out the window, "Tim," and wave at people. And I'm like, and he'd be, "Yo, Tom." I'm like, "Bro, what are you doing?" He's like, "What?" He goes, I'm doing it for two reasons. One, because I enjoy it and it makes me laugh. He goes, two, they're going to go, "Who was that? And why did they call me Tim?" And they're going to think about that the entire day. I'm like, that's just next level being an asshole, but it's also very hilarious. So I admire the strength and the commitment to the gimmick of trolling that Samoa Joe does.
He doesn't just do it on TV. He does it in real life, too.
You got to shout out Taquan because he's our number one troll.
Yeah? Taquan is the Samoa Joe troll of this podcast. So we appreciate
him, Taquan. He does it real well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he lives in Florida, so he'll try claiming some type of Samoan bloodline since they all reside down there at some point.
He's from Pensacola.
Yeah. So those were my two Mount Rushmores from this week. So that's what I had there. Nathan, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like I said, came back motivated, which is great. And I felt, Donald, before we get into your Mount Rushmore, I felt one last thing for me on Orton. Saturday happened. They go off the air with Punk, right? Mm-hmm. Next morning, Sunday, all I see is, how do you overshadow Randy Orton's comeback? Randy Orton didn't get the shine he deserved and yada, yada, yada. But if you look at it in the scope of a 7-day period, Orton wasn't overshadowed at all. No. Like, the man came back, immediately went into an angle with Judgment Day on Monday night. Then he's the main angle on throughout the show on SmackDown, to immediately be placed in a spot to go after the Bloodline and then face Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble for the belt. That's where the foreshadowing comes in for me. That's your Royal Rumble main event right there. Reigns and Orton for the belt.
You had a shock and awe moment to close the show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like Jason, you said, there was three returns on Saturday. So it's like they all got their time this week. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like one was the focus more than another.
And at the end of it, it felt like Ronda at the end of, was it the Rumble? Yeah. It felt like that. But then the next day I was like, I forgot about Punk. It was already. So
yeah.
Didn't bother me none.
And I said on the show, I'll bet my house that CM Punk doesn't show up. Well, I didn't actually bet my house. But I would be homeless if I had to pay up for the bet. But I should have known it was going to happen because as I'm watching it and they do the wide pan and you see the logo pop up and I'm like, son of a bitch, Triple H, NXT, this is how he always gets you. And then all of a sudden, Best in the World hits. And I'm like, you mother, God damn it.
I don't probably like 2 seconds later, if that wouldn't have hit, it would have been off. Because that logo popped up and they did that wide shot. I was just like, all right, time to go.
You almost turned it off?
The remote was in my hand. It was like 2 seconds later and it would have been gone.
No, you can't. From that one, listen, people, if you're not new to Triple H producing pay-per-views, like every Marvel movie, you have to sit through the entire end of the credits, okay? Until the lights come up in the theater, until that screen goes black and the little peacock sign says your show has now ended. You have to sit there because he's been a master at doing that, to tease in the big things to get people talking coming out of a pay-per-view his entire NXT run.
I almost did it with Bound for Glory and Impact too. The match ended and like they started doing a video package. I was just like, I'm not watching this, and I almost shut it off. And I was just like, I'm gonna keep it going just in case. And
see, I'm too lazy to get the remote, so it was playing. And I already checked out. I see the logo, and I was just like in my phone, and I hear CM Punk's music, and I'm like, fuck.
And then he went on Amazon to buy a shirt.
Yep, immediately on his phone, went straight to the wish list. A CM Punk shirt with a drunk caller, please.
Very drunk, yes. This is not straight edge.
All right, Donald, you're Mount Rushmore of the week, since yours is different.
Yeah, I have two of them, one in ring and one basically just talking. First, in ring, Elliott and Nathan Frazier in NXT. Match was a wonderful match. Elliott making Nathan Frazier look like $1 million, and even vice versa. I mean, hard hitting, high flying action. I mean, it had everything you wanted in a match. And we always say Ilya never has a bad match. And again, Tuesday proved it. Again, this man never has a bad match.
I'm sold on Nathan in ring. It's the character stuff that still has me disconnected. Like bell to bell, he's exciting as all hell. Fast paced. He lays his shit in. He doesn't pull anything to make it look like the choreographed dance routine that some other matches have whenever they're doing those types of moves in it. So bell to bell, I'm all for him being in there. I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch that match then, because I didn't even know that them two were wrestling on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the nephew watched it. Maybe he's a Nathan Frazier fan now. Maybe he just likes red. I don't know.
And then the other one out of the ring at the end of NXT, Roxanne Perez and Kiana James were brawling in the parking lot. And Booker gets on my nerves doing commentary, but whenever he was screaming in the microphone during that brawl, saying, "I told people, stay out that parking lot. Stay out that damn parking lot."
Finally.
Had me dying.
Finally. Some acknowledgement for how dangerous the NXT parking lot is. It's only been, 7 years of getting jumped, sneak attacks, stuffed in the trunks of cars, injuries, taking people out. It's the most dangerous place. It's the most dangerous place on earth. And finally, somebody acknowledged it in real time.
Just yelling it. Stay out the parking lot. Stay out that damn parking lot. Hilarious. 100%.
And because it's Roxanne who is his girl, you know what I mean? Trained her, brought her up, got her started. The fact that he's shouting it at that, because it's like a dad telling a kid.
What did I tell you?
I told you to stay in the yard. Do not go on the street. I told you stay in the yard. Like
Lion King. What's that darkness over there? We don't hear the darkness.
No, not at all.
That's my Mount Rushmore.
NXT again claims the throne for Donald this week. Nothing new as far as Mount Rushmore's go.
And it will be like that forever now.
Yeah. I'm gonna save my jabroni for last. Because mine has to do for Monday night, because I did watch Raw in its entirety Monday. So I have something from Raw that's outside of the ring, so to speak. So, Jabroni, who wants to hit the trash for the week?
I'll kick things off because I want to see what your guys' thoughts on this was. So this week, QT left AEW, and kind of part of the rumor, at least, you know, he hasn't come out and actually said it, is that he's leaving because of the way they're progressing with storytelling in the company. And rumor is that Tony Khan wants to move forward with more of a New Japan style of booking on the shows. And as we've seen, you know,
pretty much what it is.
What it is, yeah. For me, I don't like this, and I don't understand the point of it, because it's a different style of company. You know, New Japan does events. That's all they host. They host a couple events a month. You know, they don't have necessarily a TV show. You know, they have an event and they make their TV show in Japan based on that. And you have Will Ospreay just get signed and saying, I want to do something different because I've never been on a weekly TV show before. And then you're saying that this is how you're going to move forward, is being just like the company he's leaving, that he's not on a weekly TV show with. It's like the logic there doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you have a weekly TV show that's supposed to be building to a pay-per-view, which you're going to have, and now they're going to be having possibly 12 of them a year. Like, that's not the same as New Japan. Like, you got to do something on TV to get us to be invested in the pay-per-view.
There has to be some sort of blend. If you want to take from the New Japan style of booking, as far as like tournaments and, you know, 8-man tag matches, six man tag matches, you have a bunch of factions. That's all well and dandy. You can fold that into the mix as far as your booking goes, but that can't be your primary focus for booking. No. Because, like you said, you're a weekly TV show. What are you going to get people to tune in for week from week? We talked about this months ago, and it may even have been last year on the pod, like around the first Forbidden Door time. But we said, you're going to come to a point where your dream matchups are going to be over with. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have any more dream matchups to put out there to get people to tune in. What are you going to do after that? How are you going to progress storyline-wise after that? And true to form, that's kind of where they're at right now. You don't have
like they're doing this tournament, and how many matches are you going to get out of this tournament? You know, like, everybody has to wrestle each other, so it's like you're running through quite a bit of matches that could be considered dream matches.
And I will say, you know, since the tournament started, one, this is probably it's probably the best tournament format that they've done so far. Two, you can see storylines starting to unfold within each bracket of the tournament that at least has me interested in continuing to watch the tournament. If you were just doing the matches straight round robin format and, you know, that's the end of it, that would get old very quickly. But there are some storylines that are starting to unfold that you can see that gives me hope that it's maybe not just a straightforward tournament and there's a little bit more in-depth idea behind it.
One thing I'd liked was Brian was on commentary this week on Dynamite. So it was kind of like him. He did both matches, and it was like kind of like him hyping up the tournament a little bit and his match with Kingston this upcoming Saturday night. So it's like I did like that aspect of it.
Yeah, and you can see like clearly on the gold side, you have Moxley and Swerve to me are the two storylines right now that are like up front and center. And then you also have the storyline of Jay Lethal as far as are you going to go winless throughout this thing? After everything you've done in your entire career, when you should have been put on a big stage at different moments in time because you were arguably one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
And you're going to go Ofer Gopher? How's that even possible?
Mark Briscoe could do that too right now.
Props. Yeah, so like they have me intrigued with different individuals. The matches so far have been really good. I've enjoyed the matches. I haven't watched this past week's, obviously, but I got to go back. But the ones that I've watched so far from both sides of the bracket, I've enjoyed. So there's
Jay White and Swerve was good on Wednesday.
Yeah, like, and again, that's like, okay, would I rather see them in a long program? Yeah. Does this whet my appetite to get them in a long-term program at some point in time? It does. You can harken back to it. But just don't have them go out there and wrestle a match and that be the end of it and you never see them interact again. Does nothing for the show or to get people hooked and invested to tune back in on a weekly basis. Because that's as hard, that's like as hardcore fan booking as possible, is just run tournaments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times growing up when you were a younger kid did you take, okay, well, I'm going to put these guys here and have them and this and that. And then, like, you hear wrestlers talk about that all the time. Like, Edge and Christian used to talk about that all the time on their podcast. Yo, we literally book out a year's worth of tournaments and matches and this and that, and then have a blow off at the end between these two guys and everything else. Like, so people do that, but that's fan booking, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got to have more to it.
Not TV production booking.
Right, absolutely.
So, they got to do better. Tony has to do better with actual TV production in 2024.
Said do better. We've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah.
So, you have Cody leave, a day one original. QT left, and part of it was the reasons that he gave, but also rumor is that he wants to be a featured wrestler, a featured star, which, hey, if you're not in the business to be a featured wrestler and a featured star, then why are you in the business, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, wearing all the other hats is great, but at the same time, I'm in wrestling because I want to be a wrestling star. Yeah. So if he wants that, awesome. Do you see that for him? Probably not. So, okay, there's creative differences there. So having the other hats is only going to take you so far into a point where it's like, all right, we're at a crossroads here. What do we want to do? And he decided to leave. Nothing wrong. Not faulting him for that. Cool. Mm-hmm. The Young Bucks are supposedly going to be taking time off coming up here and going away for a while. You have some of these originals leaving. Jade, for whatever you want to say about her, but she was a day one AEW person from when the show first started. She's gone. Like,
Butcher, Blade, and Bunny?
Yeah. Where
are Butcher and Blade gone? I know Bunny's gone.
Yeah, they're all gone.
She said that she's out, but okay.
So it's like, if you have, like, SoCal Uncensored, Kazarian's an Impact. Yep. Daniels is talent relations. Yep. And Scorpio is nowhere to be found.
Back on the milk carton.
Right. So it's like, you're going to have turnover and people's contracts come up. Obviously, you're going to change and evolve and maybe not do business with some, with others. But it's just, to me, it's a red flag as far as you're getting away from your original mission statement. Mm-hmm. And the original.
But the mission statement wasn't Tony Khan's either.
Correct, which is that's the whole crux of the argument is,
no,
your mission statement has changed. What is that going to mean for the company moving forward? You know, Moxley was asked, did he see the promo that Punk cut and him coming back? And Moxley was like, I don't watch Punk. I'm not going to watch it. I don't watch anything they do. They do entertainment, we do wrestling. That's it. And to a degree, he's 100% correct.
Yeah.
But just doing wrestling is not good for a weekly television show.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's not going to get you there.
Especially whenever you're producing 2, 4, 6, 7 hours of programming each week. It's a lot of just wrestling. Then throw on, well, they usually do a 5-hour pay-per-view, including 0 hour. Like, that's a lot just to do it. And that's why some weeks it's just not as interesting to follow as it has been.
And what is your hottest thing right now? storylines and character.
Yeah.
MJF storyline, MJF's character, Timeless Tony, character.
Funny you brought up MJF, Jay, because I bookmarked this to get your guys' reaction on this because I wanted you to.
Where they lost me as a fan.
Hangman and Swerve storyline.
Yeah.
One of the better storylines that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely in their top five of the year for sure.
So you said MJF and storyline, right? And this is from Jobber Nation TV. So if you follow him on Twitter, you know what that account is all about. And I troll that account constantly and just feed into it because whatever. But this post here actually makes a lot of sense. And you brought up MJF and storylines, right? So 4 years AEW has been around. Let's look at the MJF and storylines that he's had, right? Storyline with Cody Rhodes, where he was his friend and he turned on him. Storyline with Chris Jericho, where they were friends and they turned on each other. Storyline with Wardlow, where they were friends and he turned on them. That one I don't agree with. I think it was more
a business.
Business, yeah. Not their friendship, right? So I'll put an asterisk next to that one. And then MJF currently is involved in a storyline with Adam Cole, where he was friends with him, and he'll probably turn on him or vice versa. So the only creative story that MJF can be involved in is where he's somebody's friend and he either turns on them or they turn on him. And I read it, and normally I troll back, but I'm like, that is like probably the most honest thing that account has ever tweeted. That makes complete sense. Like, yeah,
rinse and repeat.
But it connects with you, so
yeah,
it works.
But I mean, we said from the beginning with this whole friendship with Adam Cole, it's like, you know, one of them's turning on each other,
but
it's been fun to watch along the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that? That obviously, if that's the case, and we know if this is the rinse repeat storyline, we're getting to MJF. That just says that MJF is that damn good at his job that he's getting you invested each and every single time he gets into a feud, because you know what the end outcome is, but you're along for the ride the entire time. Yeah. It's not a kudos to Tony Khan for his booking. It's a kudos to the talent for getting it over every single time that they put him in the same storyline. So you gotta come up more than just, hey, we're gonna be best friends and turn on each other.
That's what I'm about to say. Like, on the other side of the coin, do that hurt MJF? You're just known for doing this story. Can you do something else?
If it wasn't just put out there.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, that we just seen him just do these stories. And say somebody comes up to him and be like, okay, you did this real good. You're the master at this story. But can you do something else in a story?
Right now, I don't think it's hurting him. We'll see, mm-hmm. you know, long term, if how what they keep doing, especially after they finish up this one.
But. Well, it's like the actor that gets typecasted, right?
Yeah,
it's your Arnold Schwarzenegger just does action movies and he wants to do other things, but you're this big gigantic bodybuilder who looks great on screen that yells, "Get to the chopper!" and everything's a hit.
Yeah,
but oh. Until you made the movie Twins, and I don't want to date myself, but like until you made, we didn't know you could be comedic. We didn't know that you were funny. You know what I mean? You hit that there. Like,
they can't all be Harrison Ford.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, go back to the archives. Watch our One Gotta Go where we debated 90s action heroes.
I'm more angry that was a perfect comment too. That's what I'm more angry about. Like, he's been saving that one up.
Yeah. But so it's like, do I think MJF can absolutely knock another storyline out of the park? Yeah. But and I guess we're kind of getting that with this whole devil storyline that's folded into the best friend storyline. So there is a little difference in this one. There's some more nuance to it. And there's other factors that are coming into play besides just waiting to see who turns on who. he hasn't been given the opportunity to do nothing else. They've only booked him in action movies. They've only typecasted him in one storyline. So I don't know that you could be a serious actor or a comedic actor or, mm-hmm. you know, an emotional actor that gives me great in-depth and feel as far as, you know, this story that impacts you. Like, we don't know all of that because you haven't been given that. Punk was the only feud that he had that was not best friend based.
That was a good feud.
Which again, he did great in.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a credit to MJF and as him being as good at his job as he is. But don't typecast the man. That's somebody that you should be. He should be a five-tool player and, you know, be put in every storyline imaginable from a character aspect. Yeah. So we'll see. All right. So, Chris, we got your jabroni. What is the actual jabroni part of the jabroni?
I was gonna nominate Tony Khan as
okay. All right. So it makes clear. I'm hitting rewind on the conversation.
That's a topic question.
Jabroni. Yeah, that's a topic question. Not necessarily jabroni. All right, Jay, who you got?
You know what? I'll roll with AEW for Dante Martin. How do you show the injury again? It just feels like ESPN. You could have cut the black. I don't want to see my man's foot twisted up on my screen and then replay it again. Like, leave that in the past. That was too gruesome for me.
They gotta tell you why he wasn't there.
We all know.
I thought you were going to say
WWE. You know, it's like, okay, we got to show it. We got to show you 3 years ago, just in case you weren't around.
But they don't show. They'll give you the steal. They'll do like the WrestleMania pin, like, or they don't show you the actual injury,
or they'll lead up to it and then they'll stop it.
Yeah,
they will.
I thought you were going to say AEW and for Dante Martin for just bringing him back in his hometown to get a cheap pop.
No, anytime the guy comes back, I'm fine with it, man. I have faith in Dante Martin a little bit.
Who did he pin?
He
took the pin. I don't know.
Isaiah took the pin. You think Mother Hardy will take the pin?
Yeah, Hardy Party lost. Which since you brought up Dante Martin the whole thing and the Hardy Party losing and that, did you see Matt Hardy's comments this week? Mm-mm. So he's frustrated with the way AEW has booked the Hardys to this point since Jeff's return.
What do you want?
That's my next
question.
What do you want?
Who's it is?
What do you want?
You're not Randy Orton.
You are both at the end of your road. Matt can barely walk. When he's in the ring, it is painful to watch.
Yeah. Yes.
Jeff has had all those issues throughout the years.
Yes.
And he's no spring chicken either. So it's like, what are you looking for? What do you want?
Title run. That's what they want.
Not everybody gets the Sting last ride into a retirement that's worthy of it. Like, are you the Hardys and are you one of the greatest tag teams of a generation and spawned off all these, you know, Young Bucks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah. But at the same time, like, is that because you're Matt and Jeff Hardy, or is that because Jeff Hardy was so over that Matt was here?
I'm telling you.
I think that he's frustrated because that's what he wants. He wants to be the top tag team there. And to me, the Hardys in AEW is a lot like Dudley's last run in WWE. You're there to do a job, and that's it.
Yes.
Now, if you want to put over the younger talent and get people established like the Dudleys did, great.
Yes.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But Tony Khan can't book that. Mm-mm. So where does that leave you? That leaves you in six-man matches.
All the time.
But that's what they did. But that's what they did on Wednesday, and Matt must be upset over it.
It's just
he needs to know his place.
And you got somebody you can be building in your group.
Yes. Sure.
100%.
And hopefully they do that once, you know, Mark Quinn comes back from his injury. I don't know when he's cleared or when he's supposed to be back.
I haven't heard anything about him in a long time.
Because that would be a good place to start.
Yes.
Mark comes back like, yo, Isaiah, I've been watching you for the last year. What are you doing? This isn't you. This isn't us. This isn't who we are.
No.
Like, look at you. Look at your clips. Look at you. What are you doing? Out here doing a Hardy dance. We VIP. We used to mm-hmm. set the entrance list. You had to be special to be associated with us. Cool. Run with that. I'm good.
Yeah. I miss Private Party. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
And I'm going to type that up in an email and email it to Tony Khan since he's taking fan booking suggestions.
That right there just earned the Hardys a title shot.
Which, just like after last week, you know what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Makes too much sense to actually do it.
Some of these old legends need to know their place. Just like Steve said, everybody don't get the banner, hoorah. Yeah, you're gone.
Randy Orton's going to do this run with the Bloodline, you know, because that's how he was taken out on TV, you know, to finish that story, so to speak. And then what's he going to do? They'll put him in some matches with some younger talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who did he wrestle on Monday night?
Dom.
So
the goat. I mean,
the goat.
The baby goat.
The man that has had the second most matches of all WWE superstars this year.
He's working all three shows, so.
Hey. Making everybody Donald's look good.
Mount Rushmore Wrestler of the Year.
Making everybody look good.
Everybody. Top three, but he, top three, but he ain't second or third. All right. Donald, what you got?
My jabroni is the main event from NXT, the Fatal 4-Way. How do you have Fatal 4-Way with Wes, Bronson Reed, Gargano, and Cameron Grimes, and the winner gets a title shot at the NXT North American title? You just gave away your whole match there because the other three are not winning. So Wes was going to win no matter what. To me, sorry, HBK, lazy-ass booking. It was 100% totally pointless.
Here's my thing to counteract that, because whenever I initially saw the match announcement, I'm like, well, that's stupid, because like you said, Donald, you're giving away who's winning the match. But because it's for the North American title, it hasn't been around that long, and it was all previous North American champions in the match, so you can only call back so many people that have won the belt, and all those guys are on the main roster now, so you had to have them in the match for it. That's the only devil's advocate twist to that booking decision. Do I like the booking decision? No, but at the same time, I understand why it was made, because you only had so many people you could call back for the match.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like the booking decision, but I like how they played it to Dom, because they made it as Dom made the match, and you got to beat former champions to get me, and you have to win. If anybody else wins, they don't get a title shot. You have to win a title shot. I just like how I played the Dom, but I hate that they made that because you knew Wes was winning, like Dom said. Yeah.
Well, Donald ain't giving the jabroni of the week to Dom. Dom.
Of course not.
He's got to give it to HBK.
Donald, would you have put it on your mount or on your jabroni if it would have been a gauntlet match instead of a fatal four way? So like just said, Dom booked the match. You gotta win, or else you don't get a shot. Those guys, if they win, great. They won a match, but they're not getting a title shot. So would the setup, would the appearance of the booking decision look differently if it was a gauntlet instead of a fatal four way?
I think that would have been better. I think it would have been better because it'd be like Wes proved to me, not all one time, proved to me with a fresh wrestler. Every time,
but you still would have got the same outcome.
But if you do it like if you do the gauntlet, I think you can set up the story within the match better through the gauntlet. right?
Yeah.
Because you could have him face off with Grimes first. It's a fair back and forth. You know what I mean? He pins Grimes. Then you have Bronson come out.
Yeah,
Bronson just heavy. Just beat him down, soften him up. There's no way he's beating Bronson. And then you beat Bronson somehow, some way with a roll up, because that's how you beat every small guy beats a giant. And then you have arguably the greatest North American champion of all time, Johnny Gargano, come back.
Not the greatest. Not the greatest. There's somebody else out there. There's somebody else out there who was the greatest.
You got to beat this guy. So, yeah, I think the gauntlet format would have worked better.
And he would have got like all kind of baby face, like, oh, wow, look at him. Fans would have been into it even more.
Right. You would have got the pop for each, you know, you would have got the pop for Grimes, the booze for Bronson, the pop for Gargano. Like, you would have had it, you know, more into it. You could have got the handshake after the match with Gargano shaking his hand, like, yo, you, yeah, go get the belt back.
It would have had more heat that on baby face and endorsement. Thing.
Yeah.
And then lose the calm again.
Of course. Nah. This time I wanted to be different. Mm-hmm. I think Dom's time is over with the title. He's looking at somebody else, somebody greater.
Gunther.
Oh, we gonna hire top of the food chain.
Seth,
head of the table.
It's coming for MJF.
Dom's the devil. He's pulling the strings. <from Gunther. laughs> Oh, that's true.
We're gonna put that mouthpiece who ended Raw on Monday in this place. I love that.
Hey, Dom Dom turned out to be the devil. There's a story you didn't see coming.
I mean, I think the more that we're watching this devil storyline play out, I really think they're redoing Aces and Eights.
It really feels that way. Did you see Bully Ray's comment this week?
Uh-huh.
Well, he mad now.
Just like with No, with like everybody was talking about, well, it ain't Samoa Joe and MJF because like the group beat them down. He was like, do y'all remember whenever Aces and Eights beat me down a month before I was announced as the leader?
He's like, I got bloodied up at my own fake wedding to Brooke Hogan to prove that I wasn't the guy, but I was actually the guy. You think MJF's not the guy? Yeah. My jabroni this week is, I don't want to bag on fans at live shows, but this one absolutely took the cake.
I think it might be the same one I was going to bring up later.
The dad in the front row who had his kid propped up with Randy Orton action figures and Cody Rhodes stuff and everything else, and making the wrestlers autograph stuff as they come down the ramp. You're the biggest piece of shit ever. It's bad enough you have fans that stalk wrestlers at airports at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
and we've all seen those and everything else. Like, those people need, they have a special wing in the Jabroni Hall of Fame. But the fact that you did it on a live broadcast in the show, had your son propped up on the apron front and center down at the very corner when they get down the end of the ramp at the corner before they hit the steps to go into the ring. And you had that guy come out, and I'm like, oh, well, this is a plant because it's Orton. It's a comeback. It's a nice feel-good moment. Orton signs it. Cool. And then I saw Cody. I'm like, nah, dude.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't catch this.
Wow.
I caught Orton. I didn't catch Cody.
I'm like, we're not doing this. You can't be the guy that uses your kid as a prop to get signed merch.
Just so then, you can sell
it. You gotta pay for that $1,000 ticket somehow.
That's terrible.
I saw that. I'm like, what? Yeah. It made me, as a lifelong wrestling fan since I was 4 years old. That right there just.
Yeah.
I hate wrestling
makes
fans.
Me absolutely hate wrestling.
That's sickening. It is. It is really sickening.
I don't like bothering them whenever I see them outside of wrestling events.
No, that's their time.
They just Yeah, they deserve to have their own time. Like, I'll bring back to like whenever we saw Jericho down in Dallas. Just like everybody was like coming up and mobbing, like while he was with his family and kids.
Yeah, wife and just like, wife and kids.
Yeah, like we just sat there and we were looking like, let him be.
Yeah.
Like Why do you gotta do this?
Yo, give a head nod and appreciation. Hey, yeah. I love what you do. Thanks. And that's it.
No. Yeah.
You get the one-on-one, you get the moment. They're gonna respect you more for doing that than rushing mm-hmm. up. Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt your dinner. I know you're busy here with your kids. I apologize, but I just wanted to come, you know, please. Can you sign this? My nephew's in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on, bro. Come on. But the fact that you did it live during Monday Night Raw, having people autograph and sign stuff.
It's like it's access.
I come out with a seat.
Like it's access.
Yeah, damn near dangling his kid over the barrier.
I'm surprised security let that happen, to be truthful.
They don't monitor it like they used to. You remember, like, back in the Attitude Era when that big bulky dude, like, stood on the corner?
Yeah.
Like, the whole show? Like, you don't get that anymore.
They're not even visible anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that let that happen.
That's my – that dad is – that's why – he's my jabroni of the week this week because of that. You can't have that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. No.
I thought you were going to go with a different one. But what are your thoughts on I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to make money?
Thought it was great.
On a pick. Like after thought you cut that great. You thought it was great?
Thought it was great.
Plays into his character or just
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because I need heel CM Punk in WWE. Yeah.
Okay.
You're blurring the lines. We already know we're not gonna get. Listen, he's not going to come out after all the NDAs that were signed between how many people. He's not going to come out and cut a promo on AEW. And AEW is not going to say anything bad about CM Punk. There's too many legal people involved for that to happen based on everything. So you're never going to get what you want. For him to come back and give that Jordan return facts, I'm back, I'm home, I love you guys, you made me remember who I was. You never forgot about me. I never forgot about you. I'm here because I love you and yada, yada, yada. And everybody in the back loves me and they've been giving me hugs and kisses and high fives. And well, almost everybody, you know,
wink.
And then to walk immediately up to the camera as the show's about to go off and say, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. Which, if you pay attention, so whenever he initially dropped the first interview before the brawl at All Out, he said the same thing. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. AEW, you dropped the ball on making money.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at my sales as far as pay-per-view buys. Go look at my merch as far as how many t-shirts I sold. Go look at the ice cream bars I handed out. Look at everything that you printed off that was green during my 2 years that I was there. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. What better place to make money than WWE, where they cash in on that type of shit all the time?
Except the ice cream bars.
Except the ice cream bars. So, yeah, lean into it. Cool. I gave you all the love. Hey, I'm happy to be here. I'm back. I'm home after all this time. I missed this place. It's where I always wanted to be. That's what a political speech writer could not have written a more political speech.
No, that came straight from Vince. You could tell that came straight
then
from
WWE Vince. Creative wrote for Punk in that time right there.
I love the one that I sent you guys. It was the Captain America whenever he said Hail Hydra. Like if that wasn't exactly it.
So lean into it. I loved everything about it. I thought the tagline was a great way to end it.
I didn't watch
it. But that's me watching. Other people that don't pay attention to the bubble shit that we do and talk about it on a weekly basis are probably like, well, why would he say that? That doesn't that goes against like and you know You're in the moment. You're not seeing the whole forest through the trees.
Donald said down there, my TV doesn't get Raw and SmackDown anymore.
No, it don't.
We don't get Channel 30.
Nah.
I thought Donald was not going to show up today because he asked to hand in his resignation on Saturday.
Did that. I ain't watching that, man.
He's gonna be the NXT correspondent.
He just texted me, can I borrow that shirt?
Man, it's like Josh Gordon, boy. How many times you gonna get it?
You need to let Punk bar those rose colored glasses. That's what you need to do. Whenever he cuts that heel promo again.
No, those are trademark. Those are mine.
Before, do we have a game this week?
We do.
All right. Before we get into the game, one last thing on Punk. So the debut happens. Afterwards, social media is a buzz, and these clips about Seth Rollins absolutely losing his goddamn mind.
Professional.
Right? Fuck you, blah, blah, blah. Go to Nicole. Hey, you better tell, you better go in the back and tell them to leave, because if he's back there when I get back there, I'm going to knock him the fuck out. And I'm like, oh, Seth Rollins, man, what a tremendous worker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We were like, no, that's a shoot. That's a shoot, brother, brother. That's a shoot. And then as the week led on, come to find out, oh, hey, every single talent that was in the main event was told right before they went out, CM Punk coming out at the end of the show.
Yeah. Get that match at Rumble.
And by God, Seth. Ate it up.
Ate it up. I even like Rhea getting in the mix.
Seth can absolutely despise Punk on a personal level, which I do think there is true animosity there on a personal level. Yeah. I don't think he likes him personally. But what Seth is not going to do is drop the bag.
Yep. You're not leaving that money on the table.
How much money there is in that match. Seth knows what that marquee looks like at WrestleMania. Oh, CM Punk, you never main evented Mania? Come face the guy that had the greatest cash in of all time at Mania. And let's go print money.
What do we always say? The best storylines are the ones that blur the lines.
It's Seth Rollins. By God, I was going to put him on Mount Rushmore for blurring the lines better than damn near anybody that I've seen in recent memory.
Who was the man in the best for business era? Seth Rollins.
Head of that.
What's best for business?
Mm-hmm. Would you be 100%. Mad? Would you be mad if Punk faces Seth at Mania for the belt?
No.
Don't care.
No.
It wouldn't matter.
Would you be mad if Punk faces Seth at the belt or for the belt at Mania and he wins?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather see this match at Rumble.
Too early.
Got two months to build.
Punk got to go through Dom first.
Talk about the best in the world.
And speaking of the Rumble, last thing real quick, and then we can jump into the game. Cody's definitely going from the number one position to win it all this year, right? He came out as 30 last year and won it. He's the first. He's drawing number one and going the entire
day. The Iron Man.
No, that used to be special. It's not special anymore.
To finish the story, Cody has to overcome all odds and defeat all 30 men in true Dusty Rhodes booking fashion. You mean to tell me Captain America, Steve Rogers himself, is not going to say, hey, put me in the number one spot. I'm fighting Thanos and everybody by himself.
I'd love to see Paul like goat him into that. Like that Cody good. Not necessarily pick it.
Yeah, that would be
but good. Like, you know, if he goes, I'm gonna go on to win the title, get my moment again, then Paul just be like,
can do.
You really want to show you're worthy of it? Start at number one.
Mm-hmm. Watch Rumble to only more than two people in the ring at a time. Because he's throwing everybody the time.
like Brock did a couple years ago.
Hold on. Speaking of Brock, what better? God damn, we're booking wrestling today.
He's booking the road to WrestleMania right now.
Right now, Chris. Paul goes Cody into going number one. Love it. He's in there, right? Going toe to toe with everybody, right? the one face that we did not see on that Royal Rumble poster, who's allegedly supposed to be coming back for Royal Rumble, was Brock Lesnar.
Number 30.
Number 30.
Drew McIntyre.
Brock. Brock and Cody had their feud. They had their matches. Brock has not seen, has been seen since that feud ended. So,
gotta go through Doomsday first.
What better way to go wire to wire to overcome and conquer the beast again? And then you have Cody face Roman. And, we just. Hey, WWE, you're welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. I always say, give us the damn pencil because I
said that we got it December 2nd, right there.
Book it, Hunter. Paul, no, I'm not even calling you Hunter, I'm not calling you Triple H. Paul, hey, Paul, you're welcome. Okay, you're welcome. You can come out after the Royal Rumble where you tout. This was the highest grossing Royal Rumble of all time. It was the most merch sold. It was watched the most. It was tremendous. It was the best book Rumble by the Dumb Marks podcast.
Wait, do we have another run in here?
So you're welcome. All right, now we got Royal Rumble handled. We don't even need to watch the show anymore. What do we got for a game this week? There we go.
There you go, Donald.
So, Donald, we purposely did not talk about this last week because you were not on the show. 2023 PWI. Jason's taking a he's taking his break.
Jason's looking just like CM Punk right now.
Plus, I wanted to see what the top 100 was, too. It's not the top 10, but yeah. This is it.
So we ran 1 through 15 here. Mm-hmm. FTR, obviously, number one. Aussie Open. Owens and Zayn. Ishmon. Motor City Machine Guns. ABC. Claim. Judgment Day. Damage Controls. On and on and on.
I hate that they do groups in a tag team list.
Yeah.
That's the first.
Yeah.
The first.
That's my biggest regret on here.
That's the first.
Regret complaint.
I was telling Jason, I was like, when I saw. Hey,
thanks for showing up each and every single week. We appreciate you. Whether you're trolling or not, love right back at. We're always going to spread love here. Okay. Now we're about to get into some hate with this list because, like you said, groups, nah.
Yeah. It's like the Blackpool Combat Club. I was like, okay, so which members are the tag?
I think New Day.
They all round robin tag with each other. So
New Day kind of money to do there.
It was like, who do you point out?
New Day, at least now, like it's a tag.
Yeah, now it's a tag. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do we always say on the show? What's the criteria?
Yeah.
What's the criteria? What's the criteria for this damn list? What's the criteria as far as what part of the year are they starting and stopping this list?
And that's what all the kills me.
Because it's Owens like, and Zayn were hot from mid-March through
January.
That was probably my biggest gripe with this list is Owens and Zayn, they were a moment to me, a moment, not a team.
My biggest gripe was the Usos, not on the list at all. I don't care if you broke up or not, you were tagged during that time.
Well, that's what's the criteria? When was the start and stop? Because just they had the longest reign in WWE history, only to drop the belt at WrestleMania. So that just leaves them off the list completely. They're not even in the top 15.
Are they on the list? I don't think they're on the list.
I don't know. They're not in the top 100.
They're not on the list at all. You have
no. They're not. I'm looking at the list.
You have Raquel and Liv on there. An injured tag team. You have Sonya and Chelsea on there, who broke up from injury. How are they on the list and no Usos whatsoever?
Was this AI generated? Was this the real PWI?
It's the real PWI. Yes. but it could be AI generated.
No. I just
like when did Judgment Day win the tag titles? September. So like how are they justified as a tag team? Like they weren't acting as a tag team during that whole time. They were a group.
Yes, a group.
All involved in singles feuds with an occasional one-off tag match.
Yeah.
Look, FTR at one for me, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, I don't have any complaint about that.
Aussie Open at two, I'm cool with Aussie Open at two.
Mm-hmm. Motor City Machine Guns, most of this year was them as singles. You know, I like them. Yeah, they do reunite, but...
Well, again, that goes back to what's the criteria, because Shelly won the belt at what? Slammiversary?
Yeah.
So, depending on... If you're ending June of 2023 from July 2022, if that's what the criteria is, then Motor City Machine Guns do... They deserve to be on this list based off of their run with the tag team titles and Impact. ABC, Bullet Club ABC with Chris Bay and Ace Austin, they just won the belts back.
I think their claim should be above Sammy and Kevin.
Sammy and Kevin shouldn't even be up there.
Yeah.
In my point, they shouldn't even be up there. They were a moment. They weren't a team. A moment.
And why are the Elite on here? For trios titles?
Gotta be. But again, this
and which Elite we talking this about?
PWI,
because Hangman
this
was
a PWI group. This is a tag team.
Yeah, it's not group. It's tag.
The Acclaimed, I feel, should be bumped up because they were the hottest thing in the company.
Yeah, and they were champs for a long time too.
And they were champs for a long time.
Mm.
So I would not mind seeing them bumped up into top five.
Yeah.
Rascals, I feel, should be higher. I just like.
I feel PWI does these lists just for this to piss people off.
Well, this one by far is the most ridiculous out of the men's, women's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we have to create something. The dumb marks list. I think that's what we have to do.
And for me personally, those Yes Boys should be up there. They're probably top three.
What are they, like 38?
They're number
30. Always top three.
I mean, you had the greatest return from injury of all time with the Yes Boys.
They were ranked 38. And even though when Elton got hurt, they were still on TV. So they were still doing stuff.
And entertaining as all.
Still giving you laughs. Yes.
I just
what did Owens and Zayn do mostly? Entertainment. More than matches, so.
It was more Kevin. I'm tired of hearing about him. I just want to punch him in his face.
Yeah.
This year out of the most recent years was probably the biggest drop off as far as tag team wrestling this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, AEW has been focusing more on the trios than anything.
And if you have trios on here with groups, where's the House of Black at?
They were at number 19.
You guys know I'm not a fan, but they deserve to be higher.
Yeah.
They did a lot this past year.
Where's the Mogul Embassy with their ROH trios run?
Might not be on the list.
Number 60.
And they held those belts for a while.
Oh, they held those belts for a long time.
Yeah, they lost them to the Elite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this
is... That was what? That was like beginning of last year, I think they won the belts.
Yeah, this is trash.
Bogus.
Definitely not one of their better lists.
No. The weakest link for sure. I got no problem with one and two. I'm fine with one and two. But after that, yeah, nah, that's it. This is in my Randy Jackson voice. That's gonna be a no for me, dog. Be a no for me, dog. Not happening. Not happening. So
we discussed it.
And since you brought up Mogul Embassy, Prince Nana.
There we go. Nice.
I hate.
What do you gotta say?
I don't get you guys' enjoyment for Prince Nana. I don't get it. But when he's
will not mute him. Mute him. We can mute now. Mute his mic. Mute his mic. Yeah, mute his mic. We will not have Prince Nana slander on this show. It is not happening.
When he sold the injury and no sold the injury at the same time this week, I was dying. As much as I hate that damn dance and everything,
got the crutches.
Dancing still with the crutches still doing the dance. It's AEW. What do you expect?
You 100% get it. You just explained it. You get it.
It's AEW.
And just become a fan. I hope not.
The bell.
Next AEW shirt, the Prince Nana dance shirt.
There you go. The wound was finally off your eyes. You see what we see.
I said it last week while I was watching the Macy's Day Parade. All I needed was to hear Swerve's music and Prince Nana dancing on the floor. AEW, get a float next year.
Could have got more eyes on their product just watching that.
100%.
Yes.
WWE had a float before.
Anything else?
Yeah, I got just wanted to bring this up, see what everybody thinks. Apparently, Camille's given her notice to NWA.
I did see that.
And will be a free agent January 1st.
She's out of here anywhere. Doesn't matter.
She's definitely outgrowing that company.
Oh, yeah.
She is, for me, she needs to be signed to AEW because that's your Jade replacement.
Okay.
That'd be good. Yeah.
I'd like to see her in Impact, TNA.
I think Impact would be the best fit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's your Jade replacement. As far as stature and everything. Now she's not as cut up as Jade was from a body type perspective, but she's done bodybuilding before and everything else. And, mm-hmm. you know, she has that stature about her and that presence. Hell, she didn't talk in NWA for a year and a half and she was mm-hmm. over without saying a single word, just on presence alone. So she has the presence.
Does she show up on SmackDown as Nick Aldis's assistant?
That would be tremendous. Well, no. Back to booking. Here we go.
It introduces her as a character.
You had Randy Orton hit Aldis with the RKO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What
happens if Aldis just starts taking finishers from all these people? And nobody's respecting his authority. Respect my authority, my Cartman voice. What better way to bring Camille in than to be his muscle?
Yeah.
Be his enforcer.
Yeah.
You can't lay hands on me because I got her.
Yeah.
And that's what he did in NWA. You're not beating me for the 10 pounds of gold because I got her.
Mm.
And then you bring her in and boom, there you go. Now off that I would get behind that in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah.
But that's because I know the backstory of him and Camille together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you could retell that because not everybody was watching NWA.
Exactly. And give it a fresh spin.
There you go.
Let her train during the week, you know, to get acclimated to the WWE style, and just have her be in there until she's ready.
Oh, hey, Triple H, it worked for Triple H in China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since Triple H in China. So,
yeah.
Why not new generation, that all that stuff, you could run that back real good.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, you're welcome. We're two for two.
You said it again.
Thank you. We're giving you a free agent to sign with a fresh storyline to come in the door to get her established and be a star. And we booked Royal Rumble through WrestleMania. There you go. You're welcome.
Damn.
The other thing that caught my eye this week, for those of you that still don't know about Athena and the work she's done this year in Ring of Honor, the promo she cut on ROH calling out Eddie Kingston as far as being the work rate champion of the brand, arguably one of my favorite promos of the year, hands down.
I love the promo. What led to that? Did she say like Kingston said something Kingston, about her?
Yeah, not about her directly, but about him being this fighting champion and carrying the brand and being, you know, ROH heavyweight champion and New Japan strong champion, just everything that he was talking about with defending those belts and yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
So, hey, Eddie, keep your name out my mouth, okay? I'm the real deal here in this company. I've carried it the entire year. Nobody can step to me. I run this place.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I reposted the tweet because it came up from BMAC. He had the clip of it. I retweeted it out. Head on over to our X/Twitter page. But listen to that promo. It was arguably one of the best ones of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And just further cemented Athena, spoiler alert, as my women's wrestler of the year. So, giving you my
early tune in and
Mount Rushmore.
Four more weeks.
Yeah. You're in wrap up. All right. Anybody got anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
Nope. I think I'm good.
All right. As always, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you guys for rocking and rolling with us each and every single Saturday. Oh, wait, pause. Before we do the wrap-up, title of the show, No Cake in the Break Room. Jason, you finally got caught eating Little Debbie's at work, and they kicked you out of the break room? Not allowed to have snacks in there no more? What's going on?
Nah, somebody was leaving. I was like, then, you know, for them to get cake in the break room. That's normal tradition. You leave, you get cake in the break room, I guess. Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't like, in the budget. It's fourth quarter. It's not in the budget.
Sometimes it's tough. Inflation on that cake.
I was expecting a congratulation on your future endeavors or whatever. Yeah.
So this is a selfish reason there's no cake in the break room. Because you wanted cake for yourself. Not for the send-off. Hey, congrats. Best luck to you moving forward in your future endeavors. Had a successful run here. We appreciate you. We love you. Here's a cake. No, you just wanted it so you could eat cake in the break room.
I can hate your guts. If there's cake in the break room for you, I'm showing up.
You had pizza earlier in the week, so you expected cake too?
Yeah. Expected it all. It's the holiday season now.
It's fourth quarter.
What is this, a fourth grade elementary school class? You're getting pizza parties and birthday cupcakes for kids? What are we doing?
Thanksgiving. They like to treat their people decently sometimes.
Every now and then it happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, kudos to Jason.
I'm not touching this.
I'm not touching anything.
You got the glasses. You got the rose colors inside. He's ready.
Hot dog.
Shout out to Jason for continuing to be selfish. We appreciate you for doing that. As always, again, thanks for rocking and rolling with us each and every single week. Hit us up on all social media platforms at DumbMarksPod. Head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/DumbMarksPod. Buy some merch. We'll give you a live shout out on air. Email the show at DumbMarksPod@gmail.com. Spotify, subscribe, download, listen. YouTube, subscribe, check the bell so you get notifications when we go live each and every single week here, as well as all of our other videos with Drink of the Week, One Gotta Go, and everything else that's out there on the YouTube page. As far as archives, go back and rewatch old episodes. Anything else before we wrap up with some positivity?
Send it home.
All right. As always, give you some motivation for your Monday upcoming here. This week's quote of the week is, one day you will tell your story of how you overcame, what you went through, and it'll be someone else's survival guide. One day you will tell your story of what you overcame and what you went through, and it will be someone else's survival guide. Continue to shine, be a light for others. As always, I'm a Mark, you're a Mark Telemark, and until next time, y'all can catch us around the way.
Bye-bye.